The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another edition, another episode, if you will, from Radioland. Here in the midst of a nice, long, hot summer. Yeah, I went to a casino the other night. The wife and I were looking for something to do, and we thought, you know, hey, we hadn't been in a while. Where we are, where we live here in Memphis, we have a few places you can go to. There's Tunica, of course, which is Tunica, Mississippi, down south of Memphis, down Highway 61 as you go into Clarksdale. Tunica is much more north of that. Here's the thing about Tunica. It's actually Robinsonville is the name of the town. Tunica County is where they had some years ago had allowed the casinos to move in as long as they were set up on the river, which meant that the casinos themselves, where the gambling took place, had to be on like a barge, and they have to be a floating casino. It's just some goofy law the way they worked it out, but it worked out, and it was all well and good. And you had all the heavy hitters that had come in, the folks from Harrah's and the Sheraton, Caesars, all that, and they've had a rough go of it here of late. I guess since the economy had done what it had done and made things a little difficult for folks, it wasn't a matter of having the disposable cash that casino patrons often need to have to go down there. And there's also another place that's a little closer to the city. It's across the river in West Memphis, Arkansas, Southland Gaming and Racing, which is a dog track. And those of you who know me know that my wife and I have greyhounds. We've had greyhounds. We continue to have greyhounds. We love greyhounds. And these are dogs that have run. They were working dogs over there at the track. And I can go on all day about that, but when they're retired, when they're done racing, they are found homes and sent, and we adopt them. We take them, and in fact, I'm on the board of directors for the Mid-South Greyhound Adoption. If you're interested in that sort of thing, you probably heard me talk about it on the radio at Radio Memphis. Just look for a Mid-South Greyhound online. MidSouthGreyhound.com will show you exactly what I'm talking about. Does it you want one of these remarkable dogs? But here of late, the folks over there that own the track and the casino there have really put some money into it and expanded and really turned it into a pretty high class joint. Good God, there's a lot of things to do and see and feel over there. And this isn't a commercial for them by any means, but that's where the wife and I went and had us a large time. It's been a while since I had just kind of wandered in and put a couple of bucks in something and see how we did. I'm not a big gambler. I life is a gamble. That's that is much of a gamble as that there is. I enjoy it. It's fun. You got to know, where you're at and all of that. You got to understand the house odds. I'll tell you this. The slot machines, any type of those slot machines, no matter what they are, penny slots, dollar, whatever they are, they have really one job, and that's to extract your money from your pocket. They do that, and they tease you along. Some of them you can do pretty well, some of them you can't. And I was enjoying watching my wife play a couple of the machines, and she was actually doing pretty well. But she's got a pretty good knack for feeling it. Okay, this is as much as I'm going to get right now, so I'm going to cash out and I'm going to move someplace else. And so we kind of did that. Between the two of us, I think we probably dropped maybe $40. And I wound up, I'm more of a table game guy myself, Slots are great, video poker maybe, because I do play poker. I used to play quite a bit of poker. I play more than people realize, but, that's it's technically gambling, but it's also quite the game of skill. Doc Holliday is the guy that was able to convince a judge that back in the 1800s, back in the 19th century, he was able to convince a judge that poker was in fact a game of skill. Because you have every right to back out of every hand at any given point. So, you have to know how to play it to really do well. And it's the one of the only games where the house does not have an advantage, because the dealer doesn't care. The house gets a percentage off of every game. So that's how they make their money off of it. So they're providing that service. But, you know, it was cool. It was we had fun. I didn't play any poker the last time we were, you know, the other day when we were there. You know, I horsed around in the roulette on the roulette table a little bit. Man, that's a funny game, that roulette. A lot of people like to play it. You know, the house odd on that deal is it lies in the zero and the double zero. It comes up more than you think it does, and it's enough to screw your if you're doing pretty well. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to watch the game. It's fun to play for a little while. And you know, I was up, I was down. The way I look at it, the wife and I had about $40 worth of fun. That was really about it. And she hadn't seen it since they had done all of the work that they have in making this, a first class joint. And it was. In fact, I was wearing some jeans and, you know, a decent shirt, but I kind of felt like I was underdressed. You know, it was one of those things. Now, that's not to say that everybody else in there was all dressed up and classy and all that, because they weren't. I mean, this is a casino, for God's sake, and it is in West Memphis, Arkansas. So you have to keep that in mind. We watched a couple of the dog races, and we wandered the floor, and we stepped into a couple of the bars and the restaurants just to kind of see what was going on. And it's just an overall fun, great experience around there. And it's funny because, you know, life is a gamble. You know, you every day you get up and you roll the dice. You don't know what's going to happen, and you're betting on certain outcomes. And that's really, really kind of what it is. And, as a result of that, you learn to, you know, accept it as best as you can. You know, like I said, I do enjoy some gambling, but here's the thing about that. You know, I'm a gambler that likes to play, you know, through odds. You know, you want to go into a scenario with a little bit of an education. See, a slot machine just denies you that completely. You just put your money in and push buttons in, and away it goes. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And, you know, and here's the thing. Here's the thing about these slot machines is that they don't give you that, you know, that real option to make any decision. The only decision that you have, and it's a good decision to have, but it's the only decision that you have, is whether or not you even want to play the thing. And now, you know, when I was coming up, you know, we always had what they call the reel machines. They had the three reels. And you'd pull the handle, and they would stop on different things. And if you lined them up, you got them right, and boom, you won a couple of bucks. Nowadays it's all digital, and there are still some real machines out there, but the digital ones are a trip because there's like all these lines and all these different ways to bet. So, you know, the wife goes, "Hey, look, these are penny machines. I mean, we can come in cheap and have some fun." So, you know, she sticks a tenner in there, and she realizes pretty quickly that it's not a penny machine per se, because every bet is at least, you know, 25 to 50 cents, you know. And if you go the max route, it's a $2 bet. And she's like, why is it a penny machine? So if you think about it, it's all, you know, it's the lowest denomination of money that we have. And quite frankly, everything can be a penny. They just want more of it as you go on. You know, the roulette, the minimum bit was 300 pennies. You know, $3. You know, that's where it's at. And of course, the higher, you know, the more you wager, the higher your return is. It's the way it is in anything else. But see, with the slot machine, you don't have any educated guesses. You know, there's sports betting. Okay, sports betting, of course, you know, like football, basketball, whatever. And then, you know, there's racing betting, of course, when you're dealing with horse racing, which they have a room over there where you can do that. And then they have the racing of the dogs, which, you know, is also, you know, that's an educated thing. You've got to kind of know what's going on. There's certain things you look for. There's, you know, certain ideas, you know, there's concepts, there's strategy that you can work with it, and away you go. You know, say a race card has like, I don't know, 15 races in that evening. You don't bet on every race. You look for very specific ones that you want to get in on, and then you bet fairly heavy on those. That's some of the strategy that you go into. And I don't want to get into all that, because that's gaming theory, and that can get, you know, kind of wild and weird. And it's, you know, it's like with like blackjack. You know, you're having to make you have to make some decisions based on your betting. You have to. There's numbers involved. You feel like you've got a little bit more of an idea of what you're trying to do, and it's, you know, there's certain hard, fast rules that are played. Roulette is also, you're betting on the outcome of where a ball lands in a spinning wheel with a bunch of numbers on it. That's really all there is to that. It's sort of a wheel of fortune. And, you know, everybody's got their house odds on that. But the best games for that are going to be your craps tables, your roulette, and your blackjack. Those are going to be probably your. The house is still against you in all of this, but the best chance that you have to beat the house occurs there, because you know slot machines are not. They're programmed to extract money from you. That's what it is. And of course, if you learn a little bit about, you know, the racing aspect, you can go and you can bet on the dogs and figure that out. And you look for things like dogs that are coming down in class or some that are coming up in class, and you know, how they performed in the past, what they're doing now, what was blah blah blah. You know, you look at all these other things. And then the best thing about all that is the people watching. And that's the fun thing about a casino, because especially in an aspect where you've got a racing thing happening and you've got your actual gaming that's going on, and there are so many different types of people that you see in these places. I mean, it's everybody. It's from the people that you realize have no business being in there. Thankfully, it's like, God, I hate to see that you're in here just, you know, You're in here out of desperation. You're trying to do it. You know, there's people that just don't have, you know, they don't necessarily have that disposable income, but they enjoy it, and that's fine. You know, I'm not here to judge, but I hope you're careful. You know, always take what you can afford to lose, because that's really the bottom line on that deal. Up in the dog area, when you watch all of that, you're seeing a very different slice of people. And the dog people are different from horse people. Horse people, you know, they're the quintessential, you know, what do you call it, the degenerate gambler that sit around there and they're betting on every possible outcome, and they've got their systems that they work and they've studied all week long, and they're looking for the races that are happening here and there. And dog people are kind of in the moment. They really are. Dog people are the guys, and invariably, these guys are a lot older. A lot of these older cats, they really play the dogs, and they have been around so long, and it's just something for them to do, and they're laying their little $2 bets out, and they might cash in, and you know, come home with an extra $30 or $40. It's not a life changing amount by any means, and they're there to pass the time. And the many times that I have been over there, I always like to go upstairs and watch some of the racing, and you know, because you can look out across these windows and see the track and watch the dogs run, and I always get a thrill out of that, because the running of those greyhounds is quite tremendous. And people don't know this, but they go 45 miles an hour. They're like the second fastest land animal on the planet, and to watch them run a 600 yard course, in about 30 seconds, it's just remarkable. It really is, and it's just so much fun to hang out and be a part of that, and everybody up there is so nice. There's no down on the gaming floor, there's assholes that are hanging around the slot machines, because that's their thing, man. It's like bingo night at a church. You know, it's like, this is my area, you will not come near me, stay away. And it's the same way around the slot machines, because you get people that would like to sit there at one and they're playing one, and then if no one's looking, they're playing a second machine, even though there's cards that are everywhere that say, don't hog the machines. You know, if you're playing more than one, you're going to be stopped. And now they have a thing that if you feel that your privacy or whatever is being encroached, or if somebody's hogging a machine, you can text a word to, and they have these signs all over the place where to text to, and security comes to where you give them the machine number, and they come around and they run that guy off, or girl, or whomever. But yeah, there's grandma sitting there at that machine. She's yelling her ass off. She's like, come on, big boy. Mama needs some new shoes. Now, what mama needs is a sense of understanding that machine could give a flat fuck about you. All it wants is your money. And that's the way it goes. And how are they're so douchey down there. I mean, pardon me for saying that, but most slot players are just, you know, they walk through, because you know, part of the fight is understanding that some of the machines are loose and some of them are tight. Where are the loose ones? Who knows? There are different theories on that. Some say it's usually when the high traffic areas, like near the doors, because they want people to see that people are winning, so they want to bring them into the casino. There's the, you know, the tighter machines are in the center of the floor, some along the way. You know, there's a whole school of thought on it, and you know, so you got to go in the room and you got to find that machine. But not only that, you got to find your machine. Oh, I see it all the time. You know, I want to play the Wheel of Fortune machine. That's the one I want. I want the 25-cent Wheel of Fortune, and that's my machine. And you get over there, and there's like three of them, and all three are taken. Or what's worse is you've got two of them taken, one's open, but not the one you want. The one you want, the one's talking to you. That's the way it goes. You know, these people, I was telling me it's about to pop. I've been watching that machine for the past 2 hours, and it's about to do something. I got that sense of what's going on. And all of a sudden, that one track mind, get out of my way. I'm going to sit in my chair and I'm going to take my little player reward card that has the elastic thing on it so I won't forget it when I get up to go get another drink. And I'm going to put it in here and I'm going to get my points. Because points, you know, I don't play slots for the wins. I play for the points. Yeah, I've heard that argument before. I get points I can take over to the buffet. I can enjoy that $12.99 surf and turf for nothing. Because I'm a high roller. I dropped $150 in there and I get a free buffet. All right. That's the mentality. They'll spend $150 to get a $13 buffet. Ooh, baby. Because you got to feel like you're getting something, you know? It's the way it works. You know, it's like going to Sears. You buy a refrigerator. You pay $2,000 for it, right? You know, a nice fancy refrigerator. When you get there, if we open you up a Sears credit account, we'll take 10% off of it. Ooh. All right, well, $2,000, 10% is what, $200? Now we're talking. What they fail to really inform you of that is that your credit card will now charge you 30% per month. Oh, yeah, they get that $200 back, all right. They get it in spades. They do. They get it. They're rolling in it. But it's the same concept in a casino because you feel like you're getting something back. Even if you win, you know, I kind of broke even, but, you know, spent a lot, make a little bit, put myself in the buffet. and that's the way, that's what you see down there. Now, when you move over to, like, the table games and you see, like, the blackjack players, that's a party, man. Not the biggest party in the room, but it's a party. It's usually about four or five people. They usually kind of know each other, and they're hanging around that one table, and the dealer is in on the fun, and everybody's having it because the dealer wants you to win. He wants you to stick around because the dealer gets tipped. You know, hey, that was a good hand. Thank you, brother. Here's a buck. You know, that kind of thing. And then so you go, and you're sitting there at your table, and everybody's having fun. Everybody's trying to do their math. Everybody's got their theory. No, man, you know, you got to split the tens, man. You got to do it that way, or you got to split every pair you get, or – you know, you got to double down. You got to do this. You got to do that, you know. And it's, you know, and then there's like, why did you take that hit, man? Because my card was next, man. I wanted that. And then there's like a barking and all that shit going on. Like you really have any control over that. And then there's a lot of fun happening over at the roulette table. That's, you know, although, you know, where we went to at the casino, this particular roulette table was all automated. There was not a dealer around. It was all digital. Aside from the roulette itself and the ball. I mean, it was actually happening, but it's robotic. It's doing its thing. You can watch it happen, which is kind of cool the way it works. And, you know, and it doesn't turn people away. You don't have the whole, you know, physical vibe of, you know, getting involved in the game and, you know, playing the table and looking around the room. Instead, you got a bunch of humps that are sitting around a terminal, you know, several terminals, and they're trying to figure out, okay, I push this and I push that and, okay, and then away it goes. And, you know, it's got little voices and it talks to you. It's kind of cool, I suppose. But it's always been, for me, the real party at any casino has been the craps table. Especially on a good night. Now, granted, the place we were at also did not have a live craps table. It was all automated, which is bizarre because you do lose that sense of who's doing what and when and where. You know, like one of the things that I bet on in craps, and craps is one of those games a lot of people don't like to play because they don't get it, but it doesn't take much to, there's a million ways to play it, and it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot to learn it. But one of the things that I've learned about it is that when you play like the pass or don't pass, in other words, you're betting that the guy's going to make his number. So he gets the dice, his first throw out, and it's a six. And you're betting that at some point he's gonna stay alive long enough, you know, to roll the actual six, make his number, and pass the dice. Unless he hits a 7 or an 11, then he's done. He's crapped out. So you can always bet on the pass, or you can bet on the don't pass. Don't pass means that he ain't going to make his number, and he's going to crap out. That could be an unpopular bet because you're betting against the guy with the dice at the table. But it's also a lot of fun to bet like that. And then you bet the field, and then you're betting these numbers, and you can, you know, 7 the hard way or whatever. You know, there's all sorts of just millions of ways to do it. And it creates this really groovy environment where a lot of people are cheering each other on, and it's positive and fun, and there's no real bitching going on. But sadly, at this particular place, there wasn't. Now, and then finally, there's the granddaddy of all the table games, which is poker. Yeah, poker is... Poker's the game, man. It's the Cadillac of games. It's win or lose, hard luck and all. And it happens, man. It really does. There's bad beats. There's, you know, lucky streaks. There's, you know, lots of lying going on, and there's a lot of cutthroat activity at the table, and the camaraderie isn't really there, especially around a bunch of strangers, because they're gonna give you the stink eye when you go and sit down at a table for the first time. It's like, ooh, they're trying to size you up. See, they're trying to figure you out, because the best lie detectors on the planet are poker players, because they especially good poker players, because they can tell when someone's lying. That's why you see guys wearing sunglasses in the poker tournaments on the TV, because these guys don't have the ability to control themselves. So they gotta hide their eyes from everybody else, so they don't see their eyes, you know, dilate or constrict, depending on how things are going. You know, that's why you also see a lot of guys will sit there and they'll plug in their iPod, you know, and they're just listening to music, or they're listening to this podcast, perhaps, which is probably would be kind of weird if you're gambling right this second and hearing this podcast. I might get best of luck to you, my friend. I hope you do well. And it is a skill, and there's a lot to it. There's a lot of theater. There's a lot of acting, and there's no friends are made on a poker table. None. I've never seen it happen. You can play with friends all you want to, but for that moment while you're sitting there playing, they are not your friend. They are your source of income. There's an old saying in poker. You look around the room and you try to identify the sucker. If you can't identify him, you're it. You're the one that's going to get your ass beat. And it does. It happens, you know. You try to maximize your wins and minimize your losses. And that's the whole thing behind poker. Oh, and the guys, the bad mouthers, man, why did I bet into that? Why did you do that, man? Phil Hellmuth is notorious for that. He is the quintessential crybaby. My God, I've never played with him. I've met him a few times, but I've never played with him. And, you know, away from the table, he's perfectly pleasant. But, man, when you're playing with the guy, you know, if he's downwind from you and you call something that he didn't want called and forced him out of a check situation, he's going to bitch. It's like, shut up. It's a game. Don't be trying. You know, and it's all part of it. He's, you know, it's part of the theatrics. He's trying to throw you off. He's trying to get you angry. And, you know, the best thing to do is tune it out. So a lot of guys just put in their earbuds and play the numbers, man. That's all they're doing. You know, that really is all they're doing. You know, another game that you'll see sometimes is Keno. You know, it's like an instant lottery type thing. It's bizarre. I've never really played it. And of course, there's Baccarat, Caribbean Stud. There's three card poker. There's all sorts of weird games that you can get into. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that because it is. It's fun, and you know, you meet some interesting people. You really do. And you know, for the most part, you know, they do. They're trying to be nice to you, except around the slots. You might find that one little old lady that explains you how the game is played. But aside from that, man, and it's funny because they sit there and they watch you as a rookie playing a slot machine, which happened to my wife. And there was this woman sitting next to her, and I was kind of standing behind her because I don't sit down at an empty machine if I'm not playing it. You know, that's kind of a dick move. I'll leave that open for somebody to play. But I was watching this little lady. She was trying to help my wife out. She goes, okay, honey, this is what you do. You pick this, you do that, and then away you go and hope for the best. And she kept a close eye on what my wife was doing because I think she was waiting to see if the machine. And there was a couple of times she actually started hitting. My wife did, and was and they weren't huge little pots, but they were a little bit. And she was making a couple of bucks out of it, and I was looking at the other little lady, and she had this seething look of, oh my God, I should be on that machine. Well, and then ultimately it happened. The second my wife got up out of that machine when she cashed out, that little old lady, what did she do? She cashed out of her machine and moved to the one that she was playing. I don't know how it worked out for her, but but it's still, it was a sight. It really was, you know. I figured, you know, and here's some of the idea too about gambling. You know, I have a respect for money. That's just it. I've learned that I've had to have that respect because when you don't have it, it's tough. It's hard. It's, you know, it's a tough world, and there's fear and there's worry, and those that don't really have any respect for money and don't have any fear of it, those are the most dangerous gamblers in the world because they don't care. They don't care whether they win or lose, and those are the successful ones that do that. You know, it's been said, going back to poker, that it was a pretty smart guy that invented the game of poker, but it was a downright genius who came up with poker chips. Think about it. Money goes away at that point. Now you're just throwing out round pieces of plastic. And you don't think about the fact that you just dropped, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks to get into a game, as the case may be. Because you're just playing numbers at that point. It's not even about the money. Until the end of it, when it comes time to leave, you know, you started with X number of chips and you walk out with X number of chips and whatever the difference was in between decides whether you win or lose or whether you're going home with money or whether you're going home, as the case may be. But then again, as I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, life is a gamble as well, isn't it? Every day we get up and we don't know what we've got. We don't know what we're going to have to work with. We're going to have to play the hand that's been dealt us in a metaphorical way. You know, I look back at Radio Memphis, for example, and I realize, of course, that was a gamble. It's always been a gamble. It still is. All the money that's been pumped into it, you hope the payout will be good, will be right. Someday it will be. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It's a strong thing. But I could lose it all. That's business. It happens every day. That's the gamble. So, you know, maybe I should take a page out of the player's book and quit respecting money. Because really, it's kind of a crazy concept. We've put a X number of value into this piece of paper that really rules our life. And we just sort of trust that that's what's going to happen. You know, the phone company wants 200 of these green things. So I got to give that to them or they'll cut me off. But I got to get that 200 somewhere to put it there so they have it. So I'm just moving it. You know, I'm a paper shuffler. That's the way it works. That's all we do. You know, if we're fortunate enough to have a few bucks left over at the end of the month, after all of our hard work and we've kept some of our expenses down, then maybe we can go to the casino and give it to them in hopes that we'll get some more of it back. That's the thought, at least. I don't know. It's all a roll of the dice.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
You know, it just seems sort of appropriate that we talk about the news. It's not, you know, this global conspiracy, or at least an American conspiracy. Because that's what, it's funny, people actually sit there and they go, well, you know, the only reason why you're seeing all these stories is because they're hiding something from you. It's not true. It's not true at all. I get to enjoy, one of my favorite things I get to enjoy about this is the freedom of speech. Not one person has come in to censor anything that I have ever said. Not in 75 episodes. Well, this is the 75th. We'll see how this goes. But nobody. You know why? Because people like you and people all over the world have this thing called free will. You have the right to decide on what you want to listen to or not. If you don't like this, don't listen to it.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Here's the thing. We're trying something. We talked about it last week. There's a thing on our site, on our Podbean hosting site, podbean.com, who is our host for this podcast. We have to pay money for that. That covers our bandwidth and that sort of thing. And we have some marketing and other fun stuff that we want to get into. And we have been asked many times by folks, what can we do to help? And you can. If you go to rickcheddar.podbean.com, and up at the very top of the page, you see a green button. Click on that button. Take a look at what's on that page. It says become a patron. It's simple, really. If you want to contribute and throw a couple of bucks into it and help us keep it going, awesome. Help us make some dreams come true. That'd be great. You know, at this point in time, we're really trying to avoid having commercials thrown into these things. I know a lot of podcasters do that. I know there's some out there that have these performance-based commercials, and it's all well and good, I suppose, if it works for them. Personally, right now, the way I'm thinking these days, I don't know that that's really all that viable. It can be, and I don't want to cheapen the art any more than what it is. I don't want you to have to be exposed to too much of those things. So to really kind of help us grow a little bit and do some of the things that we do, if you'd like to throw in some money into the kitty, that'll go a long way. We'd appreciate it. It would be a lovely thing. And I would be eternally grateful. There's a lot of goals. There's a lot of ideas. There's incentives of there as well. Take a look at it. You can find it in two places, rickcheddar.podbean.com or rickcheddar.blogspot.com. Both places, look for the link that says Become My Patron or Become a Patron, and you can see what it is. It's just that simple. My thanks in advance for you to check it out and take a look at it. In the meantime, please tell everybody you know about the show. You can do so in social media. You can do so in a ton of different ways. Just, you know, hey, if you like what you hear, tell somebody. I would greatly appreciate it, and it's always been so much fun to sit down and have a little chat with you. You've heard what's coming up next time. I'm going to tear it off and get on out of here. Y'all be cool. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radio Land.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.